Good morning. And it's a blessing to be with you all again this morning. Again, a privilege to meet with you all and worship God together. Now, these days, one of the things that has marked most of these weeks and a few weeks that will follow is weddings. And we plan to attend a total of 5 weddings in the space of 6 weeks. And so I've been thinking a lot about weddings and about relationships and about love. And this morning, the title of the message is, What is Love? So if I would ask any one of you, if you've ever heard the word love, you all have, right? But I'm going to make a very strong statement here this morning. And I'm going to tell you all that not a one of us knows what love really is. And hopefully by the time I'm done, you will understand why I say that. You know, poets and writers, songwriters of all languages across the ages have all written about love. But they still haven't gotten to the bottom of what it truly is. Thank you. Now, a lot of folks think that love is blind. Love is not blind. Infatuation is. Love is not blind, nor is it a feeling. At the same time, it does see from a different angle and from a different perspective. You know, how else, if it wouldn't be that way, how else would we explain John 3:16? You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's because of love. And because love sees from a different perspective, from a different dimension, from a different angle. And all of us are in relationships in one way or another. Not a one of us is exempt of relationships. But all loving relationships take time. They take a lot of time. And speaking specifically to those recently married, God in the Old Testament told them, He said, the husband is not supposed to go to war. He is not supposed to be saddled with any kind of big duties for the first year. He's supposed to take that time. And that you'll find in Deuteronomy 24:5. He's supposed to take that time to cheer her up and to get to know her and to build that relationship, because good relationships take time. But I'll say one thing. Every last minute of building a good relationship is worth it. I'm not saying it's easy. but it's worth it. The unfortunate thing is that a lot of people are not willing to invest the time that it takes. The other thing is that some people just don't understand what true and good relationships are. They don't know what love is. They don't know how to love. And they don't know how to accept love either. So we need to invest the time to learn. And we can have, especially talking about marriage, you know, we can have bad marriages. We can have mediocre marriages. We can have good marriages. Or we can have awesome marriages. We can pick. We really can. Now, one other thing I will say is that I have yet to find a Christian woman who spoils. You can't spoil a good woman. You can heap on the love and the affection and the closeness and the relationship, and she won't spoil. Some people think it, but if I do all these things, I'm just going to spoil her. No, you won't. Don't be worried about that. Take the time to heap it on. But on the other side, you know, I have seen so many women, lonely women, married women, and married men for that fact too, who are lonely, unhappy in their relationships. You know, it's a shame when this could be the greatest thing there is, especially talking about the marriage relationship, because it reflects, it's a parallel between our relationship with God, you know, the church and Christ, and how they relate. That's the way we are supposed to relate to our wives as well. Now, serving and loving always requires selflessness. We cannot be selfish if we're going to have a good relationship. You know, because selfishness, if you look at it, you can't even have a good relationship with yourself if you're selfish. John 15. Start to read there in verse 12. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And these are the words of Christ. And he was the perfect example of this. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." And then going over to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So how do I make this serving, sacrificial selflessness. How do I make that practical in my life? And I think it's a good question to ask each one of us. How do I do that for myself? And it's going to be different for you than it is for me. You know, I don't have the privilege anymore to take the baby at night to give my wife a break. I don't have that privilege anymore. Some of you still do. If I want to bless my wife these days, washing the dishes generally doesn't do much good because I have plenty of people in the house who can wash dishes. But there's other things in how I can bless my wife, in how it can be selfless, in how I can serve her. Dictators are not selfless. Even though we are supposed to be leaders in the home, if we end up being dictators, and everything that happens in the home is the way I say it, we're not being selfless, and we're not being servants. First Peter 3, verse 7, tells us something very interesting about relationships. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In Spanish, this verse where it says, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, in Spanish it says, como a vaso más frágil, like as unto a fragile glass. Yeah, when we got married, we were given a lot of glass things. I don't know if it was for you, if it was for you all that way. But we had a lot of glass things until our children started getting a little bit older. And then we sort of went into the plastic stage of life. Because all our glass stuff sort of started breaking and disappearing. And there were a few glass pieces that we kept them very carefully. And we'd bring them out on some very special occasions. You know, we treated those things very carefully. We treated our glass very carefully. And we washed them very specifically and dried them and put them away in a safe place. The Bible says that we should treat our wives in this way, like the fragile glass. Unfortunately, some of us have gotten so used to this being the normal, and we start treating them like plastic. And I've seen a lot of plastic women out there, unfortunately. It is sad to watch how they slave through life and how you can see it in their face. It's just really, they're sad and they're lonely and they're discouraged and they're overworked and their relationships just don't work. A lot of times it comes back to us as husbands. How do we treat our wives? You know, do we treat our wives like that special piece of glass? Or do we just throw her around and order her around and don't worry what she feels like? Like a special piece of glass. And I'll say this. You'll get a lot more mileage out of your wife by treating her like a special piece of glass than by treating her like plastic. Because women respond to love and affection. First Corinthians 13. And when we think of love, you know, a lot of times this is the chapter that we think about. Now in verse 4 through 7, it gives us some of the marks of true love, what true love does. Charity, or love, suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, I think each one of us can stop and we can think of our relationships. Is this true in my relationship? And like I said, all of us have relationships and each one is going to be different. At the same time, all our relationships with our neighbors, with our friends, with our employers, you name it, with our wives and our husbands, these principles still all apply. It suffers long. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It vaunteth not itself. It doesn't push itself forward. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. You know, it says please and it says thank you. Love doesn't seek its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Rather, it rejoices in truth. It bears all things. Oh, but all he has to do is do one more thing to me and, you know, I'm done. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Those are the marks of true love. And as we truly look at that, love does see from a different perspective. Love does see things from a different dimension. And to me, it's always amazing how easy it is to fix relationships. It's really simple and it's really easy. Am I right? I think so. You know, I've had to talk to people, I've had to counsel people, that if I could have made just one or two choices for them, their relationships would have been so different. But to make those choices, see, that's where it comes back to us. The solutions are simple. They really are. The Bible is not complicated. It's like we heard this morning. You know, we don't have the 10 points of this and the 7 of that and the 5 of the other. God's word is simple, but it speaks directly to our heart and to our needs. The problem is that a lot of times I am not willing and I'm not ready to take that step and do what it takes to fix my relationships. And I would rather blame it on someone else. Because after all, you know, I had no problems. And I really had very few relationship issues. Well, that's at least what I thought, until I got married. So whose problem is it? Well, obviously, it was my wife's problem, right? We find out that we have a lot of things that we haven't dealt with. And so it comes back to us. How do we love? And how do we apply these principles to our lives? You know, are we dealing with them? See, it's easy. Relationships are easy. But are we actually dealing with them? And I'm not here to say that I have perfect relationships. Not by a far shot, unfortunately. But I'm here recognizing that there's things and there's simple solutions to the problems that I do have. But I've got to apply them. And so if our relationships are not getting fixed, it comes right back to us. You know, the Bible says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The Bible says that. As far as it's up to me, I should be able to live peaceably with all. Unfortunately, there might be people who don't want to live peaceably with me. But I should make it as easy as possible to have a good relationship with everyone. And if there's something that I'm not seeing, then I want to deal with that. And especially in the home. You know, the responsibility falls on us as husbands and as fathers to make sure that these relationships are getting dealt with. And that we're truly dealing with those things in our lives. But while I'm self-serving and irritable and proud, unkind, short, unforgiving, it won't happen. It will kill my relationships. So, what is love? What is love? We already said it's not a feeling. It's a choice. Love isn't blind. You know, we know that Christ chose us. Of all the unworthy people, He chose us. And in 1 Corinthians, we saw what love does. The actions that love takes. You know, love is a verb. It does things. Love is patient and kind. Love bears all things. But what is love? It'd be nice if any of you could show me love. Anyone here, can you show me love? You can do actions that portray love, but you can't actually give me a pound of love, right? Doesn't happen. And, you know, we grapple as humans to explain love, the feelings of love. We grapple with explaining, you know, I love you, but have you ever been there? There's times when I tell my wife, I love you, but the English language is just really, really limited when it comes to try to tell you what I really feel about you. Because it is that way. Love is that way. I don't understand it. And that's the actions of it, the verb. But you know, love is not just a verb. Love is also a noun. And when we come to explaining the noun, there we are even more limited. And we have even greater problems trying to explain love as a noun. And if we go to 1 John chapter 4. And I'll start reading there in verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us." You know, see the actions, the verb? "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Now, even though we can try to explain love, and even though we can talk about the actions that love takes, here is why we realize that we truly do not and will never in this life understand love. And I'm not sure about eternity either. We'll probably definitely get a different perspective on it. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is the one thing that will endure forever, because love is eternal. You know, the three things that right now endure: faith, hope, and love. These three endure right now. But there's going to come a time when neither faith is going to be necessary nor hope. So we come down to the most important element, the thing that endures for eternity, and that is love. Why? Because God is love. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us that God has love. Yes, he loved us. But when it goes down to explaining what love truly is, it says God is love. He is the essence of it. And here's why we cannot explain love. It is because the day you'll be able to explain God is the very same day you'll be able to explain love as a noun. Because God is love. As we look at what it says in Revelations about how the saints before the throne would cast their crowns before the throne and would worship and praise Him, and it looks like a very continuous thing. Sort of like there's a new thing coming. You know, and God could continue revealing through, and here again, we're limited, right? There's no days, there's no time in eternity. And yet, every day, if you want to say it, of eternity, God could be showing us something deeper and something new, and we're just going to be, wow. And we're going to be throwing our crowns down and just praising and worshiping Him. And He's going to be showing us something new about Himself and about His love. So potentially that can continue going on, because God is love. And so once you'll be able to explain God, then you'll also be able to explain love as a noun and as a verb. As I said before, God has each one of us in relationships. And as we allow God to touch our lives, even though, you know, when I say we can't understand love fully, that should not keep us from trying to understand God. Just because we can't understand Him, we don't just throw up our hands and, well, we can't understand Him. I mean, some men, unfortunately, do that with their wives. They think, well, I just can't understand Him. Really? You haven't tried. In the same way, we need to continue deepening our relationship with God. Because God continues to manifest Himself to us. And God is not far out there. God is everywhere. And as we reach out to Him, He teaches us more and more about who He is. And as He teaches us more and more, we understand more. And more we take on His character and His likeness, and every day we become more like Him. And we can continue doing this, and it can get richer and fuller in the same way that our relationships can be that way. You know, when I got married, I thought I had a really good relationship with my wife. I mean, it was so fresh and so new. And just on Friday, I watched two young people, you know, drive off, and they were, I'm sure, they thought they had everything there is to have. I mean, this is amazing. What they don't know is that, yes, it's nice, it's fresh, it's new, but there's a whole depth that they don't know about. And I love talking with older couples, especially about this. And they talk about how it gets sweeter and richer. And people look on and say, what? But that's how it is. And that's the way it is with our relationship with God as well. As we have a relationship with Him, and as we go deeper and deeper, we learn more of His love for us. And our love responds to that. It's like, wow. And I love Him more and more because He first loved me. And so one of, God has a lot of reasons why he has us in relationships. And even if we go back to Adam and Eve, he gave Eve to Adam. Why? He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. He needed companionship. He needed a relationship. He needs someone, flesh and blood, there with him. He needed that. God knows that. God knows that each of us do not operate just by ourselves and in a bubble. We all need relationships of various kinds for us to do that. And God did not intend, or one of God's purposes for relationship was not miserable togetherness. It was not that. God would love for each one of us to recapture Eden. And I think he gives us the wherewithal to do that and understand and get a glimpse at least of what that was. And he intends for us to know the rapture, the exquisite, the downright delicious feeling of being loved by him. He wants that. And he wants that relationship. And he wants us also to have that kind of relationship with the people around us. And especially when we talk about marriages. And our marriage needs to be a reflection of that love that we have with God. And I will say this. It will be if we follow God's principles. Let's kneel for prayer. Eternal Father, again this morning, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you for your love towards us. Lord, unworthy as we are, yet you love us. And Father, even though we do not understand love fully, we don't understand you fully, and yet here we are, desiring to know more and more about you, and desiring for that love, your true love, to flow through us into all our relationships. And Father, I pray especially this morning, a very special blessing on each of the marriages represented here. Lord, you know each heart and you know each need. And I just again ask, Father, speak to each one of us. Lord, I pray, take away the blindness of our hearts and take away our selfishness, our own carnality, our own things that are keeping us from loving each other as we should. And help us to remember also that it is impossible to love you truly if we cannot love those around us. And so, Father, again, we thank you. Lord, we praise you for the ability to love and be loved and to receive your love, which passes all understanding. Lord, we thank you again and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that word.